Welcome to RC Talk, the voice of Ratio Christi at Marshall University. My name is John Mays. I'm your host. I'm also the regional director for the states of West Virginia and Pennsylvania, along with being the chapter director at Marshall University. Don't use words too big for the subject. Don't say infinitely when you mean very. Otherwise, you'll have no word left when you want to talk about something really infinite. C.S. Lewis. So today's show, obviously, if you couldn't tell by the opening quote, is about the way we are talking to the church, to the lost, to each other. I don't feel like that, what a surprise, I don't think it's working, and I don't know if we really understand that. So I'm going to get through this. prayerfully, it will help you, and what my goal always is to help you and give you a way to better reach the lost and strengthen the follower. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So I recently read an article about why people are leaving the church. And I know you don't believe that, regardless of the statistics or what I say or anybody else says, but they really are. The church is dying in the West. Now in the East, it's booming. But different topic. One of the reasons given for people leaving the church is language. So let me give you another quote. Church, you talk and talk and talk, but you do so using a dead language. You're holding on to dusty words that have no resonance in people's ears, not realizing that just saying those words louder isn't the answer. All the religious buzzwords that used to work 20 years ago no longer do. And I'm not sure that it worked 20 years ago, but the quote goes on to say, this spiritualized insider language may give you some comfort in an outside world that is changing, but that stuff's just lazy religious shorthand. Remember, this is a quote. I'm not the one saying this. Well, I am, but... and it comes regular. It keeps regular people at a distance. They need you to speak in a language that they understand. Herein lies, well, let me finish the quote. There's a message there worth sharing, but it's hard to hear above your verbal pyrotechnics. There's a $5 word. And that's why apologetics is so important. We're trying to use church language to reach the lost world, and they don't know what that is. But apologists are just as guilty, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit. We have to be able to reach the world. The church isn't relevant to the outside world, but we're just happy inside our four walls with each other talking about these things, and it's not working. I promise you. Anyway, people don't need to be dazzled with big churchy words, especially about eschatological, see, I have a hard time even saying that, frameworks and theological systems. Talk to them plainly about love, joy, forgiveness, death, God, faith, and they'll be all ears. I mean, they want to know, but they want us to be relevant, and they want to understand what we're saying. If we keep on with the church speak, we'll be talking to an empty room soon. Promise you. So anyway, if it's true for the church, it's, as I said earlier, it's rampant in apologetics. I don't know who apologists are talking to, and that's not bashing my brethren, but we like to use the big words and talk to each other or sit online and argue with atheists, and I don't see the point. But here's how I arrive at that conclusion. Have you ever noticed that many apologetic blogs, including myself, podcasts, or anything written with the word apologetics, typically starts with a definition of apologetics? And it's because people don't know. I mean, the writer knows the definition, obviously, or like myself, I know the definition, but most people I talk to have no idea what apologetics is. So, obviously, we need to start with a definition, but I try to stay away from even using that term. I tell people I teach the truth of Christianity. That piques their interest, and they want to know what I'm talking about. Instead of saying I do apologetics or whatever, most, if not all of us, know that the majority of our audience have never heard or know anything about apologetics, and that's what I'm beating on here. Yet, for some reason, we go on to discuss such things as, and these are other apologists, and you typically don't hear me use these words. I do know the definitions of them, but that's beside the point. We like to talk about relativism, naturalism, cosmology, macro versus microevolution, universalism, epistemology. I mean, you know, you get the point. And I know, to be an apologist, we need to use the words of our trade, if nothing else, for respect. And that's why I don't get a lot of respect. And I'm aware that I don't always talk grammatically correct. And I try. I do try. But I don't change me just to be to please someone or some or them. They. That's what I always heard. I don't try to change me to please they. And I've spent 55 years wondering who they are. If you figure that one out, let me know. Anyway, if our audience doesn't understand what apologetics is, are they really going to understand a false dichotomy? How's that? Do you see my point and where I'm going here? I mean, this may not come as a surprise to many, but the majority of our audience, excluding the atheists, have never heard of the big names in the world of apologetics, much less the common language used among them, or any of us for that matter. I mean, let me give you another example. At Marshall, Ratio Christi has brought Dr. Frank Turek, J. Warner Wallace, Mike Lycona, and Greg Kokel all to campus. And I had to explain to my own pastor and anybody else that I was inviting who these people are. And they're some of the biggest names in apologetics. I mean, and God forbid if I mention Dr. Craig, Ravi Zacharias. Some people may have heard of Ravi, so outside of him, Dr. Habermas, or pretty much anybody else. I mean, the world doesn't understand the church being relevant and apologists talking language that they don't get, and the church talking about the same thing. I mean, I'm not sure that was as clear as I want to make it, but again, I'm just trying to help here. The blank stares are almost like I just mentioned a family member died. Is the way people react if I use words or I talk to them about other apologists. And this may not be true everywhere, again, but in rural America or southern West Virginia, I promise you, people don't know, and obviously I've talked about it before, I don't feel like they care, but they do know who the Joel Osteens are, the Ken Hagens, the Joyce Meyers. I mean, and we get in trouble, or I get in trouble, when we go against what the popular people that the church or those in the church know, when we tell them those aren't the ones you need to know. You need to know who the apologists are or who the respected pastors are. But when you talk about these televangelists and false teachers, everybody gets upset. So we have to understand exactly who our audience is. I mean, we spend a lot of time having discussions with each other. It's easy to talk to each other because we understand each other. What about the average Christian? Think about it. So much like to discuss that isn't prepared to give a defense. Reading that wrong. Sorry. I've said sorry a couple of times, and I've struggled. And I don't know why I'm struggling. Seriously, in all honesty, I've struggled for about a month now with podcasts. I did one podcast, Sharing My Heart, and I'm not going to go back there or go completely off topic here, but I don't know why I'm struggling, so I guess I should ask for prayer. But I'm trying to continue, and I'm pushing on and pushing on, and I'm praying, and I'm just, yeah, pray for me. Anyway, back to the show. What about the average Christian? We so much like to discuss all the good things that we're doing, but when it comes to a defense of why we believe, I mean, 1 Peter 3:15 is the verse we quote all the time. I mean, nobody can really do that other than it's in my heart, and you've heard that. Do you really believe if we have to define apologetics that the average follower is going to understand or care, especially about relativism or a false dichotomy, when they don't even know what that is? And one thing I want to get into real quick is another example. Recently, there's been a lot of talk, comments, posts, whatever, about three well-known, and I say well-known loosely, well-known among the apologists, some pastors, and I guess some of the church, these popular, well-known individuals that have left the faith. And that's not a theological thing. I don't want to go there. But they've went on Twitter, they've went on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and they've said that they're leaving Christianity. And it seems to be a growing trend among adult, popular individuals. And I'm not really sure why that is, but our audience, for the most part, don't even know who these people are, because they're not the false teachers that tickle their ears that I mentioned earlier. You know, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, although some people ask, can I say anything positive? So here you go. Here's something positive that's popular as well. Kanye West. I mean, how many people do you know in your immediate circle that even knows who Kanye West is? I mean, I know the name. Kanye is a rapper, was a rapper. He has found Jesus, Christianity, and he's all over the news. I mean, Kanye was one of the bad guys in the rapping industry. And everybody's like, well, he's new to the faith. Let's pray for him. Let's not bash him. Let's not do these things. Because it, being new, he's being associated with Joel Osteen, unfortunately. He's talked about he received a $68 million tax refund, which is, you know, has nothing to do with Jesus as well. But it all goes back to the point I'm trying to make, is how we're reaching the lost. How are you approaching them? What are you saying to them? I mean, apologetics is supposed to strengthen the follower and help reach the lost. And I'm trying my best to help people learn how to use apologetics. But in reality, for the most part, the majority don't, I don't know, they don't understand what we're even talking about. And I'm not saying anything about their intelligence. I'm just simply, if we have to define apologetics and convince people of the importance of apologetics, how in the world do we think we're strengthening or reaching the follower, much less the lost? And the lost know, I'm especially atheists, those that are atheists, they know these terms. They know why they profess not to believe. But for some reason, we're talking to each other about Kanye and the well-known people. I mean, I actually had a girl come in to Ratio Christi last Thursday, come into our meeting, one of our students, and said that she'd found a stand-up comic that she really loved. And he may not actually be a stand-up comic, but that's what he's known for, YouTube videos. And that's where everybody seems to be, is on YouTube. Anyway, and it was, there's no such thing as coincidence, but she said, John Crist. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. She's like, no, he's hilarious. Why? I was like, well, he just recently admitted to extracurricular activities outside of Christianity that aren't popular, or sin, as we call them. And she's like, no way. I said, yeah. I said, you know, and it's unfortunate that these things are happening, but in the same sense, the only people that know, the popular people outside of the false teachers, and these are popular people like this girl. She's a college student, and I want to reach the college student, obviously. That's why I'm with Ratio Christie. But the older generation, oh my goodness, church, we have got to understand. We're, my son is 7, and if we don't do something, not just me and my family, but if the church as a whole don't do something, doesn't, how's that, the church isn't going to be around. It's going to be like it is in Europe in 20 years, if that long. I mean, we're already getting pushed around and being told we have to do this and we have to do that. The world's setting the standard for us when we should be setting the standard for them. And this is just one of the many things that you've heard me talk about over the past few years. I mean, I've been doing a podcast now. This is probably number 130 that I've done over usually once a week. So you add that up. That's why I have a religious degree. I can't count. Or I don't talk well either, but that's not the point. But again, the point is, remember when those who know apologetics first heard of apologetics, how excited we were that we could give evidence, logic, and reason of why we believed? Or remember when you first got saved, how you wanted to save the world, how on fire for God, as the church says, that you were? And what happens? I mean, where does all that go? I don't know. Not everybody is like me or like you that happen to listen. I mean, I'm surprised that people listen to this podcast, honestly. And not because I think it's bad. I wouldn't do it if I thought it was bad or if I didn't think I was at least helping someone. But so many people don't even listen to podcasts. They don't know what a podcast is. So I feel like I'm just rattling and ranting as usual, and I don't mean to be. But we need to keep in mind who our audience is and what we're talking to them about. And I've used so many examples in the past, and real quick, I mean, we talked about the church. I mean, they talked about, we talk about getting saved, and people don't know what are we getting saved from? Is the building on fire? Is somebody in a car wreck? I mean, simple, everyday church lingo that we use, like getting saved, praying for rain, bring down the fire. I mean, all these different things, regeneration, sanctification, justification. And then you get back on the apologetic side, and I've given you the terms we use. I guess what I'm trying to say is, just like C.S. Lewis said, be yourself. Study. Know what you believe and know why you believe it. And it's so much easier to share if you would use apologetics, because it makes so much more sense. I mean, it makes sense to you and to those who you're talking to. If you can tell them that Christianity is true instead of, well, you just got to have faith, it brings a comfort that you will never know until you at least try it. All right. I've rattled on, and I've covered the topic, I guess, as much or as well as I can. Again, pray for me. If you have questions or comments, you can send them to johnmays@ratiochristie.org. Or if you'd like to be a part of our financial support team, which this is the time of year when we have a big push on support, the end of the year is where most of the yearly support comes from, believe it or not, are the year-end gifts. So if you'd like to be a part of our support team or would like to be in the giving season, giving mood in the giving season, yeah. Anyway, you can go to johnmays.ratiochristi.org. Until next time, you might have been thunderstruck.